This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Coach Kurt time, so let's do it. Presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Hey, Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're great. Who knew basketball was this easy, huh?
Yeah, things have changed for sure.
I mean, how would you put things have changed into further words? Because I'm sure this goes beyond the X's and O's.
Well, I think it starts with the X's and O's, not in terms of schemes, but just in terms of great players making the game easier on everybody else, and that's what Jimmy is doing right now. He's simplifying the game for everybody, and he's getting us easier shots, and our defense has been really good, and as a result, we've got more confidence, more momentum. It feels right. It feels like things are clicking.
What has surprised you the most about seeing Jimmy and coaching him and getting to know him? Because you mentioned earlier how you had never met him. What's the one thing that's kind of struck you about Jimmy Butler?
Well, I think you have to really see him every day to appreciate his game, because he's not your traditional superstar who's lighting it up from three or wowing you with highlights. It's really just the efficiency of his game. He's incredibly sound fundamentally. He's a great passer. He understands how to get to the foul line. He's really, really strong, and so he gets people to have to guard him, and then it just creates a lot of opportunities for not for himself, but also for his teammates. I love his passing. I just feel like every time he puts the ball on the floor and pivots and makes a pass, it's not spectacular, but it just makes the game flow. And that's exactly what this team needs. We've always been at our best with high IQ guys, around Steph and Draymond, and that's what I'm seeing with Jimmy.
Coach Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs. Steve, I wonder about this, because you guys loved Andrew Wiggins so much. That experience obviously bared a lot of fruit. But his personality seems a little bit more beta, obviously, especially when compared to Jimmy. So I wonder sort of how you look at that now, about sort of like losing a that kind of personality and injecting an alpha into the room, and how that may have helped.
I don't really like to compare Wiggs and Jimmy. I think the whole thing is really circumstantial. Wiggs was fantastic. Obviously, he was one of the keys to the 22 championship. Played such a big role on our team, but our team has changed and shifted, and you know, you could tell before the trade that we just weren't quite getting anywhere. We were kind of treading water right around 500 all year. And so I think the timing was right more than anything for Jimmy to come in here. He's a very different player from Wiggs. And both guys are amazing competitors, teammates, all-around players, the size, the athleticism, the versatility. But it's a different feel with Jimmy. He's a different kind of player. And I think where we are right now compared to a few years ago, we needed this kind of player, and that's why we made the deal.
I'm particularly struck by what he's meant or seemingly meant to Moses Moody and Brandon Podziemski. Can you put into words how much their game has been elevated because of Jimmy Butler's presence?
Well, I think part of it was that it was a 4-for-1 trade, and so it really clarified roles and rotation, kind of who our top 7 or 8 guys are. I think that was, frankly, very cloudy for most of the year, where we had a lot of depth, incredible depth, but not much separation. And I think we have more separation now. We know kind of who our top 7 or 8 guys are, and then we've got really good role players behind that group. And Moses and BP are part of our top 7 or 8, clearly, both starting now. And both are much better playing with Jimmy because Jimmy makes them so much better, makes everybody get better. He makes the game easier. So it's been fun to watch both BP and Moses really, really blossom here the last couple weeks.
Steve, maybe this is just a random stat, but you guys are 9-0 when Moses Moody starts. Is there something to that?
Well, we're 9-0 when he starts. We're also something like 15-1 when Buddy gets about 18 or 19 points or more. There are certain markers that you look at, I feel right now like the way BP and Moses are playing. If those two and Buddy can give us that secondary scoring that we need after Steph and Jimmy, we're going to be tough to beat. And so it's really nice just seeing them blossom and seeing all three of them in good, comfortable roles. Buddy has settled into the six-man role really well. And I think Moses is a great fit next to our other four starters because all four of those guys are playmakers. And he's able to kind of camp on the perimeter and take his open looks, play hard like he always does, compete defensively. I've enjoyed watching Moses play the last couple weeks. He's really coming around.
Coach, there are things in the Western Conference that have twisted your way a little bit, and you're already starting to fire up the standings. You've stated that the goal is the 6th seed. Is it still, or has the goal maybe now gone even higher?
No, I think the goal is 6. Obviously, we'll go as high as we can. We just want to win games and see what happens. But I think the goal is 6, just so we get out of the play-in. We don't want to mess around with that. We've been in it twice. We have not advanced either time. You just don't want to leave anything up to chance. So whether we're 6 or even higher, doesn't matter to me as long as we try to get out of that play, and that would be ideal.
Only 16.5 back of OKC, and you do have the tiebreaker over them, Coach. Just
there we go.
All right, while we're talking like this, you've won 5 of 6. Just want to keep you in mind with the math. I know you're big on 3-man combinations, and you've got me thinking about that as well. When you look at Jimmy Butler and you look through 6 games, who are the two players outside of Steph and Draymond, obviously, but who does he thrive with on your team in those combos?
Well, I'm going to mention Draymond because the Jimmy, BP, Draymond trio has been amazing, like off the charts defensively. And so we're trying to put those guys together as often as possible. Obviously, they start, but biggest thing for me is the three of them together when Steph goes to the bench. They have been really, really effective. And it's a good combination, three smart, tough, high IQ guys together.
And that's been really fun to watch that group play.
Steve, what is the update on how Jonathan Kuminga has looked in practice? And is there any more of a window into what you might be doing with him on this upcoming road trip?
Well, he scrimmaged today for the second time. But the first one was just half court. Today was his first full court scrimmage, and he looked good. He's moving well. His conditioning is coming. I mean, he's done a lot of hard work to try to stay in shape, but there's nothing like playing full court. So he needs more of those scrimmages. Unfortunately, we don't really have any scrimmage time with our regulars coming up with all the games we have. So JK will go on the trip with us, and we will have scrimmages involving coaches and some of the younger guys who don't play as much. We'll get JK as much time as he needs, and whenever he's ready, he's ready. But he looked good today, came out of it pretty well. I talked to him afterwards, and he was feeling good. Everything's coming along as we had hoped so far.
When he does come back, would you anticipate slotting him mainly at the four? And if so, what does that do to Moses Moody and what he's been able to do at that spot?
Yeah, it's just too hard to try to predict, where we'll be, once JK comes back. And I love the starting group right now. We're in a good groove. Hopefully we're healthy when JK comes back. We don't have any other injuries or anything. But until that time comes, I don't spend a whole lot of time, worrying about, how we're going to play it, who's coming off the bench, all that stuff. We just got to keep going one game at a time.
Steve, I made the comment, and this is just as a fan and an observer, but I made the comment earlier that the non-Steph minutes haven't felt this confident maybe even since Kevin Durant left. Is that an overstatement, or how are you feeling about those minutes right now with Jimmy out there?
Well, I wouldn't undersell Chris Paul last year. I mean, when we had Chris, that was the most a playoff team. When we had Kevin Durant and we were loaded and we were winning championships, we found ways to survive those minutes, and we did it with defense. We'd have Clay and Draymond out there, David West, guys like that, and we would grind games out. But this is probably the best I've felt in terms of our ability to put a really good two-way lineup on the floor, when Steph is off, because Jimmy has that kind of an impact at both ends, where you feel like you can get stops, but you can also get to the line and slow the game down if you need to. And he's through six games, Jimmy has made a dramatic impact in that regard.
And offensively, Coach, he's only turned it over six times in those six games. What is it about the way he approaches offense that makes it so you guys don't just give the ball up very often when he's out there?
Well, he's an old school player in that he understands the value of the ball. He understands footwork. We always use this expression, play off 2 feet, which means, you're making jump stops and pivots, kind of old school 2 feet. And he never gets in a rush. He plays at his own pace. So because he takes care of the ball so well, because he gets to the line, the game is just much more under control. We don't give up the easy stuff at the other end in transition. We set up our defense every time he goes to the free throw line and the other team has to play in the half court. He gets us easy baskets, in the paint that we weren't getting before. So it's the total package with Jimmy that impacts the game, not in a spectacular way, but in an incredibly efficient way.
Steve Kerr, head coach, Dubs, with us, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game, as he is every single week. Hey, Steve, what did you think of the Andre Iguodala ceremony yesterday?
Oh, I thought it was awesome. I thought organizationally, I was very proud of our business operations, the way they put together the afternoon. I thought it was perfect to do on a 12:30 game because all of the fans seemingly stuck around. You know, nobody was dying to get home and get to sleep. So it was a beautiful ceremony. A lot of great tributes on video. And then, of course, seeing Andre and his family there. And I thought his words were perfect. I thought Andre hit all the right notes. He thanked so many people behind the scenes, which was just awesome because they deserve it. And I loved what he said about the organization, about how many good people we have with the Warriors. And I 100% agree with that. This is as good a group of people as you can find in sports. And every person that our players run into every single day is so committed to winning, so committed to high-quality service and dignity. It's really a wonderful group of people. And I'm thrilled that Andre pointed that out in his speech, but it was a great day for the organization for sure.
Steve, I mean Bob Myers was hilarious, kind of talking about your decision to bring Iguodala off the bench, and when you presented that to them, they kind of thought you were crazy and they were questioning hiring you. Like, can you take us back to those conversations and that decision and what kind of led you there?
Well, watching tape of the team over the summer, it just jumped out at me that we needed to solidify the second unit, and that Andre was such a connector as a player, just such a dynamic player, much like Jimmy, in terms of being fundamentally sound but athletic and able to make an impact on teammates, make teammates better. And so it jumped off the screen to me that Harrison Barnes should start. He'll be better off with starters, and then we solidify the bench with Andre. And it seemed like the right time to do it, but I don't know. I was a little nervous about it just because Andre had never come off the bench. And as I mentioned in my words, I felt better about things because of our connection to Coach Olson at U of A and our shared experience learning the game under him. We shared a vision for how the game is supposed to be played. And I think I have tried to appeal to Andre in that regard. And I think that helped. And I think, he told me later it was the right time in his career to do that too, and I think that's a big part of things, circumstantially with teams where, timing is everything, and he was really ready to win at a high level, and he wanted to do anything possible to win, and he understood that was the sacrifice to make.
Does that experience make it easier for you to have a conversation if it's Jonathan Kuminga or if it's somebody else that you have to approach, and if they want to start and you think it's in the best interest for them to come off the bench? Does the muscle memory of having done it with somebody like Andre make it easier for you to have these conversations?
Yeah, I can always use Andre as an example. Here's a guy who'd been an all-star and had never come off the bench his entire career, and he willingly did it, and we won the championship, and he was finals MVP. I mean, it's a storybook ending, and validation that when you really do commit to the team and you sacrifice, that it's not just good for the team, but it can be great individually too. And so I have used that as an example. I've used Andre as an example to our younger players. And as I mentioned yesterday, having him around over the years, even at the tail end of his career, to mentor our younger guys was huge. So yeah, his impact on this organization was profound, and that's why we retired his jersey, obviously.
And also, speaking of that season and the 2015 championship, those guys are being honored in tomorrow night's game when you guys host Charlotte. When you look back on that specific championship, what really stands out to you?
I think just how unexpected it was. We knew we had a really good, young, talented team, but normally in the NBA, you've got to go through a lot of pain before you win that championship. And you know, I think we knew we had a shot, but when it happened, it almost felt surreal, like we had skipped a couple of steps. And it was an amazing feeling to see all those young guys, you know, celebrating on the floor in Cleveland and to realize what we had accomplished. I'll never forget that season and that team. It was an amazing group of guys.
Even when you go 67-15 in the regular year, did you still have some doubts that you could go out there and get the 16 needed in the postseason?
Oh, hell yeah. You know, you're terrified at that point when you have such a great season and you realize, you know, you have a shot. You're just thinking about all the things that could go wrong. I remember that year, Oklahoma City had struggled, and Kevin Durant missed much of the year, and he was coming back late in the season, and it was looking like they were going to be the eighth seed. And all I could think about was, we're going to win 67 games. We're going to have to play against Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. This is not fair. And I just remember being really scared that, man, I just hope we don't get injured. I hope we don't get the wrong matchup, whatever it is. And but that's all part of it. You know, it's you got to win four rounds. And I always tell the guys, there's a reason you pour champagne on each other at the end. It's really hard, no matter how you slice it. And I was thrilled, but also very relieved when we got through.
Well, Coach, as Andre said yesterday, none of this happens without Steph. And I wonder what your observations are with regard to him right now. I think to a lot of us, these games suddenly, they certainly feel like meaningful basketball. He looks like there's a new life, rejuvenated, maybe a weight off of his shoulders, the joy, the fire. Like, it's all always been there, but it really feels boosted. What do you see in him right now?
Yeah, I see the same thing, and I think he has expressed that many times to the media. He just wants to play meaningful basketball, and I love that. I think it's a great phrase because it's humble, but it's also hopeful. And he's basically telling everybody that, you know, give us a chance. If we have a shot, and we're going to make the most of it. And I think the trade has given us a chance, and Steph feels that. Our fans feel it. We needed a shakeup. It was the right deal at the right time. Jimmy just happened to be available, and Mike Dunleavy did a great job of making it happen. So, yeah, we're in a good place, but a lot of stuff has to happen for us. We've got to stay healthy. You know, we've got to win some games and put ourselves in good position. And we like where we're heading, but not getting ahead of ourselves either.
Yeah, for sure. Are you scoreboard watching yet, or is it too early?
Every day.
Okay. All right. The Clippers are down 2 at half in Detroit, just so you know.
Oh, trust me. I've been watching.
Okay, you know. All right, Coach.
Multitasking.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, as always.
Sounds great. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, all right, you too,
Steve. There he goes. That's Steve Kerr. He coaches the Warriors.
Right.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah. And
While I'm out here telling people stuff that they already know. Hey, Coach, the Clippers are losing.
Yeah.
He's like, I got that, Mark.
Just because I'm in a car doesn't mean I'm driving. he's probably got a laptop and a phone. He's probably got a multi-screen thing going. But just what he said there at the end about Kevin Durant in 2015 reminded me of, you know, this is not to say that you get lucky, but sometimes you do need breaks. And I just was refreshing my memory on the standings that year. And New Orleans and OKC finished tied for the 8th seed, but the tiebreaker went to New Orleans. And so instead of facing a suddenly healthy Kevin Durant and OKC team that was humming back then, you got New Orleans, yep, an inexperienced team in the first round in a 1-8. And, you know, you swept New Orleans and the rest is history. But sometimes the little breaks go your way. And not to say they wouldn't have beaten OKC.
Sure.
But as Steve was just saying, it's a little terrifying. You go 67-15 and you draw KD getting healthy and getting right. That's a tough first-round matchup.
There's no doubt. At the same time, I bet you could do this with anybody who ever wins a championship ever.
Probably, yeah.
You could look at the road and go, well, that kind of fell our way. I mean, that's just part of it, you know? I mean, this is a bad example because the Niners didn't win the Super Bowl last year. But even go back to that, and go, okay, what stands out? Well, I don't know. Brock Purdy threw a ball deep to Brandon Ayuk, bounced off of a helmet, and Ayuk did an amazing job catching it.
Wow.
But, like, that could have gone a different way. That could have gone a different way, and the Niners end up coming back. They win the game. They go to the Super Bowl. Like, anytime you go on a run, there's some breaks in there.
For sure.
Right? All of the Warrior Championships, even the ones where you were like, oh, dude, you overwhelmed everybody. And so you would have beaten anybody, but you stayed healthy. There were some key injuries in front of you with your opponents. You know,
it's the reality.
Happens every time.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to discount the title. I'm just, he reminded me of that fact, and I went back and I was like, were they the 9 seed? No, they tied for the 8, but they didn't get the tiebreaker, and that was Westbrook and KD peak years and Steven Adams, and you probably still beat the Thunder because you were 67-15. You were the sauce that year in the regular season, but you know, sometimes a couple things do break your way and it helps.
All right, so in the post Steve Kerr portion of our time together today, any reaction to that or along the lines of essentially what we've been discussing the whole day? Anybody want to redo a little mulligan, a little Jimmy Butler mulligan, now that we've seen 6 games? And as Steve put it, you know, look, I know the way Steve wants to talk about this because he never, ever, ever wants to be disrespectful to the players who are on their way out the door. And I think he's completely genuine with that. But at minimum, his phrase, it's the right deal at the right time. And it certainly feels that way right now.
Yeah.
Because it has just sent, it's been a complete shot in the arm to all of them.
And he didn't love your Alpha Beta, shout out the old supermarket Alpha Beta.
And my mom used to shop there all the time.
No doubt. Yeah, it was one at Santa Fe right there across from Pinky's, which is no longer with us either.
I get it. He doesn't want to compare the two.
Fine. Yeah. I liked it, though. Your comparison of Jimmy as an Alpha and Andrew as a Beta, I think it's fair. It's not a cheap shot. And I do believe it's a good way to describe the change in the vibe because you brought in another dog, or as Draymond said, another blank hole.
Yep.
Somebody who is going to come in and disturb if things aren't going right. And you see it on the floor. The fans see it. The fans are excited. So I know it's only 6 games, and let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, although I did point out to him, only 16.5 back of OKC.
Well, dude, we haven't even... Yeah, exactly.
Let's dream big.
I mean, hey, why not?
And you have the tiebreaker.
Just win them all. OKC will not lose 16 more basketball games this year. But anyway, in fact, they're playing right now, and they're going to win again tonight. But anyway, this is maybe something we haven't mentioned yet that's a big part of that article in The Athletic that you referenced earlier, Marcus Thompson and Sam Amick writing that whole thing, and it's a dive into Jimmy Butler. And they're talking to him about, like, why it's better. And he there was a moment that he talked about something that I really wanted to bring up. And he goes, look, I'm not on social media a whole lot. So I was kind of the last to know about Draymond Green saying we're going to win a championship over All-Star Weekend. But now that I've seen it, this is Jimmy talking, I'd like to share with you, I agree with him. And when people go, why do you agree with him? And instead of thinking about, well, X's and O's, you know, like, oh, this, that, like, no. He goes, you want to know why I think we can win a championship? Because everybody in that locker room genuinely thinks that. And that's all it takes. Like, this is not always rational. It's not always mathematical. What I love most about the Jimmy Butler trade so far is very much on the emotional end of things, as opposed to the factual and mathematical stuff, the X's and O's. Forget all of that. These guys right now are in full-blown honeymoon belief mode. And what that means is every time that they have a basketball game, they think they're going to win it. And that's pretty powerful.
Very.
It's very, very powerful.
Yeah, especially as you get down the stretch, and we've talked about it before, about the schedule and the number of teams against whom they'll be playing, teams that are probably going to be more into shutdown mode or, you know, let's go fishing or 1-2-3 Cancun. A lot of these teams are already going to be out of it by the time the Warriors face them, and if they continue to play like they've played, these bottom feeders are going to have no chance against them. And you got Charlotte a couple times in a row here.
Yep.
Orlando's been struggling. There's some winnable games. If you can stay healthy and play with that same urgency, they're going to rattle off a nice little stretch here.
Hope so. 888-957-9570. Anybody want to redo their Jimmy take? How about Gene in Oakland? Hi, Gene. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks. I'm ready to issue my own personal mea culpa. I was about as against this trade as anybody, and I have to admit I was wrong. And depending on how this plays out, you know, for the rest of this year and next year, maybe dead wrong. So I looked at this as we were getting a bitter, angry, over-the-hill Jimmy Butler, who was just looking to get his bag. Excuse me, and versus, you know, ridding ourselves of a beloved player with plenty of skills and such, but I failed to appreciate the chemistry and the need to make this trade. I started to warm up to the whole idea when the trade was made, but before they actually started playing together, because excuse me, and this goes back to a story I think I told you some time ago. When I graduated from high school, if you can indulge me for a moment, when the valedictorian in our class said, if you can't be the best, be the worst. And I scratched my head at the time, but over the years, there have been many times when I've thought of that and said, yeah, that makes eminent sense, but never as much as it does now with the Warriors in the NBA, because where they were before this was stuck in the middle. Worst place to be. No chance for a championship. No chance to dream about getting in the next Wembanyama. So, you know, I really appreciated, like I say, at that point that they made this, that they took this risk, that they made this change. And so far, it's been beautiful to watch. So, wait to see how it plays out. A lot more games to go, but I'm loving it. Never been so wrong. Never been so happy to be wrong.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, Gene, thanks. I think to say what Gene is saying another way, and we had mentioned it a little bit last week, one of the reasons I think everybody's so excited is because it's a lot easier to consume what they're doing because they defined themselves. You don't need to agree with it, but the Warriors told you, we're doing now, and we're not worried about later. We'll figure out later. Let's do now. And that helps fans. It helps us define what we're all kind of pulling for on a nightly basis.
Right.
Like Warrior basketball, at certain points throughout the beginning of this season, you'd have two fans sit down next to each other and they're rooting for different things. One person's like, got to get Steph some help. And the guy next to him's like, I need to play the young guys.
Moses Moody.
Yeah, stop all this crap. They're too old. You know what I mean? Well, now, like, you can still be in camp too old. But you kind of have to zip your lip because this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So let's all do it together or let's not do it
together.
And
they didn't punt on much of the future.
No.
They gave up this year's first, which with every win gets to be more like a second round pick. If you wind up with the 10th best record in the association, then the pick is number 20. And, you know, number 20 picks aren't always the best picks, and you're not going to give up a lottery choice. It's top 10 protected, so like, what did you really give up future-wise? You gave up a first-round pick, and you gave up a 30-year-old Andrew Wiggins, who is a good, solid player, and you gave up basically two rentals and a guy who you found off the scrap heap, Lindy Waters, who he was going to be with Guy and the rest of the fellows on the third unit if he was still here. So you didn't even give up that much of the future. You just repurposed it, and I like what Steve said about four for one. You do a 4-for-1 trade, and it crystallizes not only for the fans but for the team. Like, all right, guys, instead of 13 players and who's going to play, now it's, all right, Moses and Kevon and Gary, you guys are in. You're in the rotation. Stay healthy and go play.
Yeah, absolutely. 888-957-9570. That 4-for-1 might be one of the more, like, under-discussed pieces of this. Not who went, just that number went, because it has allowed Steve Kerr to define the rotation a little bit and stop all the guesswork that he's had to deal with the last few years. Let's go to Bob in Reno. Hi, Bob. Thank you for your call.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I lost my voice yesterday celebrating, and I got to say, chain that Warriors chant with Jimmy Butler at the free throw line. That brought back some great memories. I don't know about you guys on that one.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a the whole thing is a good feeling. Like, to be real, Bob, I'm just glad anybody's chanting anything at the arena right now. It has felt a little dry. I think I can get away with that statement.
And this is my only game all season I'm going to, and I'm okay. I lost my voice for that one. And then I also want to just honor his retirement ceremony was just perfect, phenomenal. I mean, what an honor being one of the seven guys to be up there getting his jersey retired. He wasn't selfish. He thanked everyone. I mean, I think I just got emotional saying this is kind of the beginning for Steph, you know, like his journey and stuff like that and giving him his flowers. But, guys, I'm loving what the Warriors are doing. As I was sad to see Wiggins go, but now really looking at the big picture, this is what the Warriors needed, guys. This is the energy they needed, the tempo they needed. They needed a guy to get these, like, Pajemski open, Buddy Hield open, and give them...
Bob's phone.
Lost his voice.
Yeah, I didn't
lose. Lost the call.
I was just going to say, like, for somebody who's lost his voice, he's not lost his voice at all.
Sorry, I lost my voice yesterday.
Oh, there it is.
That was yesterday.
Yeah. But the rest of his call didn't sound like, I mean, take it from someone who like had throat surgery for nodules. That's not losing your voice.
Damn. How long were you out?
Oh, no, dude. This was like my whole childhood.
Oh, your childhood.
If I yelled one time.
Right.
Gone.
Wow.
Like if I was like, let's say it's recess. And I feel like I'm streaking down the right sideline and I'm open. And I yell, I'm open! That's it.
It's over.
That's it. That's
it. Gone. Wow.
We go back to class, and if they want me to read in front of the class, Doc Rivers times two.
Totally.
Nothing.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
Nodules.
I had nodules. You know, they had little bumps on the vocal cords.
And you told the doctor, can you go ahead and get me a nice healthy baritone while you're in there?
Exactly.
Can we drop that thing about five octaves?
Like, hey, Doc, I don't like my voice.
Seriously.
Can you do something about this? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
We can do something.
I'll give you one of these.
Yeah. You know, you like this right here? I'm like, yeah, I'll take that. Big Smooth. Hey, Big Smooth, what's going on in Oakland?
Gentlemen, a little nice misty rain here. Hey, it's the last caller, if he can remember, it's time to change. You've got to read your
God. Right. I'm so mad that I know what you're referencing right now.
Brady Bunch, baby. That's Peter Brady, right? Peter was the one who lost his voice.
Yes, yeah. Peter went through puberty.
That's the gist of it. Yeah, they're irrational just by being where they are. But if you can remember, 2 days before, or three games before the All-Star game, Draymond actually said it early. He said that they now had a confidence going into games that they didn't have before. He said it. He didn't guarantee a chip, but he let us know the thought in the locker room. And like you said, the only thing that matters is the thought in the locker room. Now, I want to also say this. TDJ seems to be he seems to be on the outside looking in. If I were the coaches, I would lock him in a room and make him watch Wayman Tisdale videos. He's just too nice. I mean, I'll be honest with you. He needs to attack the rim and just be violent. He's got more Wiggins than Butler. And I think maybe Jimmy Butler's presence will help him. He's just too nice, man. He has no post moves. If he's going to survive in this league, he's going to have to really go into this summer putting some work in.
Smooth, thanks, man. Appreciate the call. I think a lot of guys get labeled this way, and I think it's hard for us to really, really know exactly what's going on. Like, let's do this test. Does Steph Curry look like a nice guy to you?
Oh, yeah.
An incredibly nice guy. That does not preclude you from having that streak that's necessary to be a competitor at the NBA level. So I never want to like make the mistake of acting like we know these people because we watch them on TV. But when it's been a number of years and people have built the reputation for you and the people who do know them speak about them. Again, this whole concept was brought up because of Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Andrew is a really quiet, sweet guy who doesn't mind the background. Jimmy's the opposite. And that just that kind of feels like that feels like it fits right now.
But it feels like it's what they needed. But to your point about, you know, let's not jump to conclusions about what we think we know about these people. Like Brock Purdy, he's got rosy red cheeks and he loves Jesus and his parents. He'll take $30 million. Just because we think these things about him, we automatically expect that. And, you know, Steph Curry gets scolded by his mom when he curses, and he's a humanitarian, and he loves his family and all the rest of it. So he can't possibly want to win that much. He's just a happy-go-lucky baby-faced assassin.
You ready for the are you ready for the Brock Purdy extension?
Is it breaking?
No, I did, but I mean, like, we're as soon as that calendar flips to March,
yep.
We're going to, you know, combine is happening. Everybody's together. Like, draft less than 2 months away. All of the stuff is going to start. And it's pretty quiet right now.
Yeah, it's quiet now. And the league year starts in mid-March. So once that league year starts and we're going to get a Debo decision, cut, trade, or pay, those are your three choices. Because if you keep him, he's got a bonus coming now. So it's cut, trade, or pay.
Yeah.
Brock is getting a bag. How big? Some edge rushers out there that you may be coveting. So there's a nice trio, at least, of pieces of business. Oh, and shout out Ben Bartsch, who got...
1 year deal.
Attaboy, double B's.
There you go. See, y'all wanted an offensive lineman.
Bang! Bingo! Yeah. Was that that guy? Bingo!
No, what did he say? It wasn't bingo. Oh,
kaboom.
Kaboom. It was kaboom without the M.
Kaboom.
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 Yeah, which is like a card game or something, isn't it?
But it's actually the capital of Afghanistan. Kabul.
There you go.
Kaboom.
There you go.
It's a geographical two. I get it.
But
kaboom.
Not inaccurate. All right, we're sponsored by MB Jesse Penny. If you would like to redo your Jimmy take, or if you just want to say kaboo, either are fine. 888-957-9570. Weather and Dibs.
Sorry, I lost my voice yesterday.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since you left that locker room, it's been hard to fill your void, but you also left me the title of the oldest warrior. So I had a hard time accepting that, and even more so when we get to see your jersey in the rafters deservedly. So it just makes it kind of, you know, sink in that we are old. Like,
I want Iguodala.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
No.
What happened?
37 is not old.
Well, I mean, by basketball standards, it's kind of old.
I love the young people.
I'll say this. In sports, over the last handful of years, haven't the goalposts moved a little bit?
They have.
Okay. 37 used to be old. I mean, LeBron James is in his 40s. Tom Brady played well into his 40s, and he played football. So, I don't know. These things, they move a little bit.
They do.
Justin Verlander, 42. Looking good out there today.
Yeah.
I think. I didn't look at his numbers. Was he good?
I didn't even see it. I'm just was thinking about Steph Curry at 37, almost 37, coming up on it, and there are 10 players who are older than Steph Curry currently playing.
In the NBA?
Association.
Okay.
You mentioned LeBron at 40, Chris Paul and Taj Gibson at 39.
I did not know that Taj Gibson was still playing.
He's played in 24 games, 286 minutes, it counts. Al Horford and Kyle Lowry, Jeff Green and Garrett Temple. Garrett Temple's played 66 minutes in total. Mike Conley and Joe Ingles. And James Johnson. So okay. A lot of these, like, James Johnson's played 32 minutes, so I don't know if he actually counts, but Steph is old, but there are a small handful of guys older, and Mike Conley plays a lot at 37. Chris Paul, still doing it at 39.
Still doing it. Steph Curry's still doing it. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, LeBron James is still doing it.
But the names you're giving me, as you said, it's like, oh, this guy's played 36 minutes. Like, LeBron James and Steph Curry are still leading franchises
right. That
are playoff contenders.
Well, Chris Paul has played in more minutes this year total than Steph Curry. So
that's
even though his team is not great, he's played in 55 games. Chris Paul, he's played in more total minutes, so even though his team is not great, it still counts that he's out there doing it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, time for Triples for Autism, everybody. It's brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors made, count them up, 12 three-pointers last night. That's another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Steph Curry and Brandon Pajemski had 3 apiece. Quentin Post, a couple more. Few others each chipped in with one, including your boy, Buddy Hield. That's the 34th donation of the year for Triples for Autism. If you'd like to make a donation or get involved, we invite you to go to sfautismsociety.org. And that was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. Yeah, whole thing is stunning, man. The whole thing is really, really stunning. And gosh, I hope they keep it going as long as possible. It's been a long time since I think being a Warrior fan, or certainly what appears to be being a Warrior player, has sort of given the feeling that it seems to be giving right now. I don't know where this is going. Again, I do think we get ahead of ourselves. We get big dreams. That's fine. That's being a sports fan. All of that stuff still remains firmly in highly unlikelyville. But who cares right now? That's kind of my takeaway on the Jimmy Butler thing. Whatever I was worried about 2 weeks ago, whatever anybody was worried about, who cares? Who cares? This is too good right now. There's too much good that's happening, and that alone makes the whole thing worth it.
Right, and it makes it exciting to think about what could be. And last year, the season ended on April 16th when you had a play-in game and you got motorboated, and that was it. The previous year, you made it all the way into May. May 12th is when the year ended. The year before that, we had June basketball and a seat on Market Street for a parade. So are we going to get June basketball and a parade seat? I think that that's highly unlikely. Are we going to get into May and have a second series in the playoffs? I think that that is more possible than I would have thought pre-Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Are you going to even get through April with basketball? That, I think, is a yes.
I think so, too.
And that would mean that you would play six or seven games in the first round. Because I'm looking at the...
Yeah, when's the first round start and when does it go till?
Well, the Kings series, which was 2 years ago, it ended April 30th. And this year, I was looking at the playoff dates, and I think it starts the 19th, that weekend.
Okay. Yeah, so...
The 19th, yeah.
April is round one. Like,
yes.
Can the Warriors get to late April? I think so. Can they get to May?
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, can they get to June? The odds are pretty strong against it. You'd have to win three series to get to June. The finals begin June 5th. The finals are already slotted June 5th.
Yeah.
That would mean you win 12 playoff games. To use your parlance, they're allowed to.
Yeah.
But... the odds are against him to go that far.
Listen, you have to sort of, unless you're a dominant team, you have to catch lightning in a bottle. And that's what all of us are eagerly awaiting now, which is what does this look like when Jonathan Kuminga comes back? Who's he going to be? How are they going to use him? How does he fit in? How many minutes? To what level are they leaning on him? Because this is why this is so important. It's not just to satisfy our curiosity. It's not just to figure out what Jonathan is worth. Let's be real. And this would actually be almost a fun question for Doc Pandy or any medical professional if you actually were able to get data on this. What is the likelihood that three guys who've all had their 35th birthday can go on this kind of a physical excursion to push their way into the playoffs, then get into the playoffs and continue pushing, very little load management, and actually stay healthy and effective? What's the chances of that? I bet the number is lower than we want it to be. And so that's why if there is a 22-year-old who can fit in and shoulder some of that scoring load on certain nights, if that's a possibility, it's a really big deal. So to me, the Warriors making the playoffs, I feel like if they're just blessed with health and they keep playing like this, they're going to be in the playoffs one way or another, even if they had to get the 7 and play their way in or whatever. I think they'll get to the playoffs. Their ability to move through them, that's where I think Kuminga becomes a very, very big puzzle piece.
Especially if you get down the stretch and you have to play all 82 games and really push and try to earn a seed. And just hearing you say that reminded me of the 2023 playoffs where you needed 7 games to beat Sacramento. You needed a miraculous performance to get through that. And then about a day and a half later, you started the series with L.A., and I know L.A. was an older team as well, but because you didn't get a break between series, I think that helped to deplete your energy. You came out and you lost game one, and you were fighting it uphill the whole rest of the way in that series.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But anyway, really, really good stuff, fun stuff. Charlotte in town tomorrow night. They'll celebrate the 2015 team, and we get to head into a game, which, like we said, the relevance of even games. A Tuesday against Charlotte has certainly ramped up a little bit. Grandy, what do you got? What's coming up here, my man?
We're going to hear you guys on the crossover with Steiny and Goo, and then we're going to hear Steve Kerr again. That's coming up in a little bit.
What did we say on the crossover?
Oh,
I feel like that was a fun crossover, but it feels like
madness.
Yeah.
We had extra Steiny too. He stayed till 2:14. That was crazy.
Couldn't get him out of here.
Yeah. A lot of you just being wrong, Willard.
What did I say?
No, just admitting to being wrong.
Oh yeah. Well, I mainly did that after they left.
I think you mentioned it there too.
I might have mentioned.
You can't do that with Steiny in the area.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that to him. He gets all crazy.
Oh, and then Steiny asked Dibs if his joke was going to be funny.
Oh, that's right. Good. Oh, you did comedy.
Well, and my mistake was telegraphing it, and. You know, it was something that I hadn't even workshopped. I should have just come out with it.
No, yeah, just
funny.
Do it.
Well, plus,
it was good.
Honestly, trying to do comedy with that man in the room is a near impossibility.
Which one?
Steiny.
Oh, okay.
Goo's down to laugh. And one of my favorite things about you is you'll laugh at anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes that makes me think that I'm not that funny, even when I say something funny.
Laughter can also be because of discomfort.
Yeah, I don't make you uncomfortable anymore. It's been a long time since I've done that.
By the way, guys.
I get you there.
Justin Verlander, 2 innings, 1 run.
1 run.
A solo homer.
And
the game ended in a 2-2 tie.
And he got a strikeout.
Yeah.
Somebody struck out against a 42-year-old today.
Jung-Hoo Lee also went deep.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, Jung-Hoo Lee, grandson of the wind.
Mm.
Boom.
Can't keep him in the yard.
No.
I also saw Marco Luciano hit a nuke to center.
Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Bomb.
Okay.
Vibes, Dibs. Vibes.
Did he DH or did they actually allow him to have his glove on?
Oh, that's a good question.
Hold on. He played left field.
Hey!
Hey!
Did anybody hit the ball to him?
The Giants committed an error. Who committed it?
Not Luciano.
Oh,
thank God. Okay. Who was it? Who's got there committing errors?
Arteaga? I'm sorry.
Yeah, send him down. All right.
Get him out of here.
Here comes Grandy, everybody. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
All right, let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.